Okay, that's entertainment. It's what we call this little item at the end of the week here on the 9 till noon show. And the ever-present Michael Eddy's there with us. Hi.
Hello.
And we're also joined by Mary Lane. Hi, Mary.
Hello, how are you?
That microphone position's not going to work.
It's not
going to
work, is
that's
that better?
That's going to work. Yeah,
that's going to work. Good,
how are you
good.
Keeping, Mary? Thank you so much for accepting our invite.
Oh, thank you very much for having
it's
me.
Great to have you here.
Twice in one week.
Yes, I know.
I am privileged. Thank you.
You certainly
very much.
Are, indeed. And as are we.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks very much.
I was waiting for that. Yes.
How was your week, Mary?
Busy, flat out.
It's good though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's good.
All right, Michael. How was yours?
Busy is good though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Busy is good.
I'm not quite sure about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I said that, didn't
you?
I?
You did say that.
Right. And okay.
And I hang on your every word, Greg Hughes.
Are
and so I parroted it back to you.
Going tonight to Katie's going away party?
I am going to Bangor with.
Well, that's too much information. I just asked.
He's a terrible man.
I'm sorry.
Terrible man. I apologise to everybody listening.
I just asked, are you going?
He's terrible. Greg Hughes. We're taking our play on tour. You're a terrible man. But you know what? I am impressed. But I also think it's terrible. But I am impressed. You'll not top that between now and 12 o'clock.
Oh, I don't know. The hour is young. Anyway, I actually really apologise for that.
That's
I didn't really mean to say it. Let us go to the theatre first, because, Mary Lane, you're looking forward to Beauty and the Beast. It's on this weekend in Ongrianon. You've seen this before, this particular production, have you?
No, this particular group, actually. So it's Beauty and the Beast has been on my to-do watch list for a very, very, very long time. I think that the production has been running now for a couple of nights in Ongrianon by the Grove Theatre Group, who I know have been running for a lifetime, as far as I know. But they're a brand new group to me, in that I only saw one of their productions for the first time earlier this year, which was their production of West Side Story mm-hmm. in the Millennium Forum. And I was absolutely blown away.
Yeah. And so, those skills are transferable. Oh, if they're good at West Side Story, they're going to be good at Beauty and the Beast.
Oh my goodness. I have goosebumps actually thinking about it now. Mm. It was excellent. And I'll be honest, I'm not a massive fan of West Side Story as a musical. It's just not my style of one.
Yeah, I get you.
But I've been raving about it since. So when I heard it was them that was doing the Beauty and the Beast, I thought, definitely, I am there with all the bells on.
And looking forward to seeing their interpretation of this.
Yeah,
play,
very much so. And I was speaking to somebody actually last night who has seen it this week and said it is spectacular. The use of their projections, their costumes, it's quite mind blowing. So I'm really looking forward. I love to look forward to something that I'm anticipating is going to be really high caliber, because I know we often bandy about the compliment of going, oh, it's just like the West End, and I really it's not a compliment I give out willy nilly, and even when people say it to things that I be in, I'm like, oh, thanks very much, you know. But I don't take it lightly. But honest to God, like their West Side Story was West End caliber. Ooh. So I am really, really looking forward to it. Please don't let me down.
Do we know if there are tickets available still?
There's still a few, like literally, you're
right,
talking
okay.
the back couple of rows.
It's the way that's laid out.
Yes.
Like if you're in the Three Arena and you say the back couple of rows, you think you're going to see flies on the stage.
Yeah.
But I actually was quite surprised.
Surely you need to be in the front row to see flies on the stage. I mean, think about it.
Precisely.
They're tiny
things.
No,
because if you were so far back in the Three Arena, there might appear to be flies at Aegis.
I know.
But it holds a lot of people, but it's such a compact venue that all seats are good seats.
Oh, the layout of Ongrianon is so fantastic that actually my dad's favourite place to sit now is the very back corner.
Ooh.
Loves it. And actually, that's where I sat the other week there for our one night drama night, and I watched the three plays from the very back row, and I missed absolutely nothing.
Of course you wouldn't. Yeah, exactly. Because I was
beautiful.
Sorry, the point I was trying to make, I'm not sure if I fully made it because I've drank too much coffee, is that I actually really hadn't been in the theatre before properly until such time as we went in to do the music
competition. Yes, the Friday, yes, yep.
And I just thought it was going to go back forever.
Yeah, no, it's a good venue. It's a lovely venue.
We are so blessed in the venue.
All right,
like
that's
it.
Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm. Spoiled, yeah.
Grove Theatre's representation of that, which mm-hmm. should be interesting. Now, we have one of the youngest and trendiest broadcasters in the country, Michael Leddy, who's all over TikTok. Watching yes. Maxwell the Cat on TikTok.
Yeah, well, I'm down with the kids. And
I cry for help. Blink twice if you need an intervention.
My finger. Would you believe me, Greg Hughes, if I said to you that my finger is on the pulse and I know what's hot and trendy?
Okay.
Don't answer that question. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. I'm just pacifying
Maxwell
you.
The Cat has. I'm not on TikTok. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know it's a shock. You're shocked.
Okay.
You're shocked.
But this.
This has exploded in the last couple of weeks, so much so that it's all over Facebook and everywhere else. So what is Maxwell the Cat? So this is the thing I've learned about in the last couple of weeks that a lot of people do, where they get a little GoPro and they attach it to their cat or the dog's collar
right.
and they let them go about. And
I've actually seen this now that you talk about it. Yeah.
But Maxwell, these videos started going up in April of this year, and Maxwell the Cat is a legitimate internet sensation because Maxwell... is a bit of a thug, T-H-U-G-G. He is a cat that nobody knows where he is, although a lot of viewers seem to think he might be in China, but they're not sure exactly because we have no distinguishing features in any of the videos.
I don't think you can really necessarily find out where a cat's from their features, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, I suppose, yeah, to some degree. So, but nobody knows where Maxwell is, but Maxwell is a very... bad cat with a bad attitude. And these videos are just mostly Maxwell wandering the streets of this urban area, sort of a peripheral. There's some foliage and there's some trees and there's stuff as well, but it's mainly streets and stuff. He wanders around attacking other cats and he just, as soon
as he
sees... He's a bully. Some of the videos are him reacting and hiding from dogs and there's some of them are cute little kittens. He won't attack kittens and he won't attack lady cats. But a lot of it is there's a fantastic battle with a cat in a tree. So the thing about this is drawing attention to this and admitting that I have watched a lot of these videos. What I want to chat about is the fact that I left my notes at home today, but Maxwell has 2 million followers. He has 50 million likes. That's just likes, not views. And he has hundreds of millions of views on the various clips. His owner takes the GoPro footage, edits it down to nice bite-sized TikTok minute-long clips. And you get this amazing, even when Maxwell is just running along the street and running under parked cars, you get this amazing POV stuff of at high speed. You never think about cats. I never thought about cats wandering around fighting each other. You hear them outside and you, shut up out there. But now you get to see it. And it has absolutely captured the imaginations of millions of people around the world. And some of the videos reacting to Maxwell, things that are posted on Facebook where I first saw it, and also YouTube, are hilarious. You have these guys coming on saying that Max should be in prison and giving these passionate, you know, deliberately OTT responses to like, why are the police not on this? Why is such and such on this? So you get this whole... culture that's built around these videos of Maxwell the Cat. Yeah. It's insane.
And I presume it's edited to the point where there's a little bit of storytelling in there, isn't there? You know,
well, the story really is, it's exactly as it seems to be. He's a bully. You said it, he's a bully. The story is, there's a minute long clip where he's walking along. He might be looking at parked cars, he might be looking at the back of a building, which might be kind of a building site kind of thing, or he might be wandering through grass. About 20 seconds into the video, Maxwell will see another cat.
Yeah.
And without any provocation whatsoever, Maxwell will just start running at that cat. Two things happen at that point. The cat either stays and faces him and you have a standoff for a few seconds before they fight, or the other cat takes flight and you get a chase. That's the extent of the storytelling, really. And it's high-speed action where we're the people. Nobody knows what Maxwell looks like. I couldn't believe it. The first I saw was a video on Facebook where there was a guy, I think it's Kev on Stage might be his handle on Facebook, but his reaction video was hilarious. He was like, why are the police not doing something? What's happening in the world? And it was just really funny. So I says, I gotta see the original videos, the clips. So it's Max20499 if you're on TikTok and you don't know about this, but I would imagine a regular TikTok user is well aware of Maxwell the Cat at this stage. The videos started coming up in April, but they seem to have exploded in the last month is what I can gather. They have exploded because it's reached that point now where it's gone viral and people are sharing it around. And still, nobody knows what Maxwell looks like. Nobody knows where in the world.
The only problem is that you have to actually follow the account itself, because with TikTok, as soon as there's a trend, everybody else tries to jump on it and to be trend adjacent.
Right? Yes, so trend adjacent is a good way
of
it.
I'm trying to watch it here. And you'll see it's some just of them. Fellas, primarily fellas, doing reaction videos yes. to try and hop on the trend.
If you go, if you go, it's at max20499, that'll get you into
it. I might not do that.
You might not do that.
No,
but,
I might not.
But if you
I do not want to mess up my algorithm and next thing have angry cats running around the place.
Yes, because I know your algorithm is all TED Talks and intellectual stuff. That's
totally.
Do I know you or do I know
it's
you?
It's like you are in my phone.
I'm reading your diary every night. It's just like that. So that's me
all
chatting
right.
about...
It's a little bit different.
Isn't
Maxwell
it?
The Cat.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about TikTok, the reason why it takes up so much of people's times is that how it works. So Facebook, right, you know, you get your 5,000 friends and, you know, you're in your echo chamber, right?
Yes.
And if you want to sort of change, if you go, Facebook, it bores me. And if you want to change that, which I don't, you have to change all your friends, right, really. But with TikTok, it notes that when you start getting bored with something, and then if you watch something for an extra second longer, it starts going, oh, maybe Greg likes this.
Ooh.
And it continuously evolving with your tastes and what interests you. So if you value your time, Michael, I'd stay off it. because it is remarkable. It's remarkable how it actually works. So let's go back to Mary. And this is one of those shows that's getting off Netflix. November 9th, it's the end day. And it's a show you're rewatching, Motherland.
I'm rewatching it. I'm in clip mode now, where I kind of go through it and skim through the episodes, but I'm catching it before it leaves. I've watched the whole thing, three series. I don't know, three, four times at this stage.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, it is hilarious. And it is. Now, another Maxwell, actually, Anna Maxwell Martin.
I love her.
She plays the lead. She plays Julia in it. And she is an absolute riot to watch. It's herself and Diane Morgan, who people might know from Philomena Kunk and all of those.
And Afterlife. She was in Ricky Gervais' show as well. And arguably, from my point of view, she may have been the best thing about season three. She was really strong in season three.
I think Luna referenced her as a couple of weeks where you might not know her name, but as soon as you see her, you've watched her in something.
Yes.
She was in Line of Duty as well.
Anna Maxwell Martin.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry, who are you on about?
The other one, Diane Morgan.
Morgan.
Right. Never seen her.
She's funny. But you know what? I bet you, if you've seen her, you would recognise her. I'm just saying back to him what he said to us. You would recognise her, Greg.
Yeah, that was a Death to 2020 or something. There was that sort of fake documentary that was done.
I heard
a few
about
years
ago.
She's also in that.
She's also in Ludwig, which is getting 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's a fun detective show, and she's really good in that too. And she was in Code 404. I love her.
Yeah. So Motherland, it really is it's a working mum, Julia. She's got two kids, and her own mother decides that she's not helping her with her childcare anymore. They live in, I'm pretty sure they're in London, and it's all sort of fairly middle class-ish, but she falls in with this group of other mums who... there's a stay-at-home dad involved. And he's fairly gormless. He's Kevin, and he just wants to fit in. And then you have Liz, who is Diane Morgan, and she just doesn't care. She is just winging her way through life and getting the kids fed into school, and after that, anything goes. And then you have Julia, who is in an absolute state of chaos. And I watch her, and I go, "Thank you for putting my life on TV." her relationship with her husband is seen entirely via phone calls, so you never actually see them on camera together.
Wow.
It's all her trying to check in with the husband via phone, and he's like, "Whatever you decide, I support you." You go, "Oh, come on, just do something."
It sounds a lot like Working Moms.
It's probably
same thing. This Canadian show is very. It's very. I love Working Moms, and you might. It's very similar.
Oh, actually, Jonas, I think I saw part of that. Actually,
that's a great show.
So yeah, Motherland. It's only on. It's on Netflix until the 9th of November. If you haven't seen it, go and binge it. In fact, the first episode is set on the first day of half term, so it comes really nice.
You can watch it live.
It'll feel like watching it in real time.
Brilliant. Okay. Yeah. And it sounds like one you can hammer through.
They're
half hours, are they? Half hour episodes.
You don't actually have to even watch them in sequence. They're the kind of things that you can actually just pick up clips throughout. I could never.
Stop talking. I'm panicking here at the thought.
Shows that the laughs come from recognizing scenarios or situations, maybe seeing a bit of ourselves in them.
Yeah. Absolutely. And sort of the chaos of normal life the chaos of like having children and just trying to make it all happen.
Why would you piddle in the shower when it's 1 foot from the toilet is what Ashley says to me.
That literally is the kind of stuff you're talking about.
Okay, you've topped it. That's two. Yeah, okay. Give you that one as well.
Yeah, no, it's...
You're on fire.
Okay, yeah, get that fire extinguisher ready.
Yes, get it.
Okay, you're on fire, I'm down with the kids. We've got Beauty and the Beast this weekend in Greenland Theatre. You've got till November the 9th to watch Motherland on Netflix, highly recommended by Mary Lane. And the internet's all a bit amongst us. You've got Maxwell the Cat on TikTok. From Michael.
Would I recommend it? I don't know, but I certainly think we should draw attention to it. It's fun.
I also think that
it's fun.
You have to have fun.
You have to have fun. That's why I picked it.
I'll send you a video of my cat later.
Do. Yeah. Have you got a GoPro on your cat?
No, I don't.
But what's going to happen is lots of people are going to do it and it's going to be crap.
I was telling the lads at work, we were at work, and one of the guys at work, and there's always one. There's one real character at work, and if you don't know who that is, Greg, it's you. But there's one lad at work. We're thinking
my work colleagues would say that.
I'm thinking in the context of we're thinking we might hang a GoPro on this particular lad just to see what he gets up to the weekend. What are you up to this weekend? Put a GoPro. I know what you're doing tonight. Yeah, put a GoPro on you. If I give you a badge, would you wear a badge? Trust me, it's just a badge.
It would end up being like a video from. I can't say the name of the. The name of it, but Prodigy video.
I know the video.
I know the video. Right.
I have more respect for you than I've ever had before. I had none earlier, but now I have a lot.
We'll be back with more from Mary and Michael after these.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
It is 11:23 on this Friday's 9 till noon show. You're very welcome back. Just to let you know, there's a parish dance in Glenfinn Parish Hall on Friday the 25th of October, which is tonight. It runs from 9 to 11 p.m. Admission is €10 and music is by Stillwater. And I'm more than happy to mention your events, your community events that are coming up this weekend. If you want to get in touch with us, 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. Right, John O'Donnell, director of the One Act Drama Festival in Letterkenny, is with us now. And we've been talking about this, I suppose, on and off over the course of the last couple of weeks. John, welcome to the programme. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Right, okay, so talk to me about the One Act Festival.
So the One Act Festival is celebrating its 10th anniversary this year in Letterkenny. It's a competition-based festival, so you have three one-act plays on the Friday night, three on the Saturday night, and three again on the Sunday afternoon. So basically you're looking at three one-act shows ranging in time from about 25 to 55 minutes. It's actually a wonderful way for anybody who would be reluctant, let's say, to go to drama at the theatre. It's a great introduction to drama on a theatre stage. You get to see three shows in one night. They're all short, little clip-type shows, as I say, 25 to 55 minutes. And you're going to see something different in all three plays, and you're going to see really high-quality, professionally produced productions.
So there's nine in total, is that
there's
correct?
There's nine in total competing over the weekend.
How do you whittle it down to the nine to compete for in this event?
Well, in early September, amateur groups from all around the country, if they want to participate or try to get to the All-Ireland One-Act Finals, they've got to participate in five festivals throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually inundated with groups wanting to come to perform at the festival because it's to say all the...
Well, this is quite clever then. So this is, and it's actually really good for getting shows on stage all around the country and what have you. This is then part of sort of a network that feeds into an overall.
Absolutely.
Right,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Brilliant. So it's not like leagues as such, but what it does is it promotes lots of these types of shows all over the country.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Brilliant. And then... presumably, each individual builds up reputations then, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah, so okay, all the shows are marked by an adjudicator at the actual event. And this is one of the other beauties of the one-act festival circuit. At the end of each evening, you get a professional adjudicator. This year, it's Declan Drohan, who is a lecturer in BA in Performing Arts and Creative Arts Practice in ATU in Sligo. He'll get up at the end of the night and he'll actually give you his views on each production that has played that evening. And a lot of people actually go to the one-act festivals to hear what these people have to say about the actual shows.
Right.
And again, harken back to sort of bringing people to the theatre that haven't been before. You're sitting there at the end of the night and you're getting somebody who knows theatre inside out, giving you their thoughts on a particular show. And it's a really eye-opening experience because, you know, you're getting to hear their thoughts on it, why a certain group did this, why they lit it a certain way.
But with that in mind, it's a bit of pressure there in putting your stuff up for this level of scrutiny. It's not something everybody's terribly comfortable with.
Possibly not.
I'm not comfortable with it. Stuff the rest of you.
Yeah, but then you get hardened professionals like Michael Letty here beside me, and they can take it on the chin, like, yeah, you know.
Exactly. Right, we've got local interest, of course, Cider Park from Kieran Kelly and A Matter of Rights from Connor Malone. Well, it doesn't matter what nights they're on. Maybe you want to run through the three acts
per
night.
Yeah, I'll give you a brief...
Because there's different start times, by the way. Yeah. So note this if you're interested in Sunday. There's a different start time. But go ahead, John.
Yeah, so on Friday night, we have the Moogle Theatre Company from Cavan with Megan's Grave by Alice Lynch. And she's actually a prolific Irish writer, award-winning Irish writer, deals specifically with women's issues. We have Rosemary Drama Group from County Antrim returning to us again. They've been back with us a few times, always bring a great professional show. And then, of course, we have our very own LMDG with Cider Park from Kieran Kelly. This is an excellent, excellent play. I seen it myself a couple of weeks ago in the theatre on its opening or its first performance. It's really, really brilliant. It's really worth seeing. Modern themes there, life in the digital age, all of that fantastic stuff. On the Saturday, we have Carrick Navarre Drama Society from Cork. They're a group who returned to us again from last year. We have Mostrom Players from County Longford, and then we have Theatre 3 from Newton Abbey in County Antrim with us as well. Again, they're a group who return year after year, very professional outfit, always bring a great show to the festival. And then on the Sunday, the start time on the Sunday is the afternoon at 4 o'clock. We have the Butt Drama Circle with A Matter of Rights by Conor Malone. Again, this is a really relevant sort of modern show dealing with issues of immigration and a fractured Irish society. You'll see a fantastic performance there, no doubt, from the likes of J.C. Boner and Mickey Mahan. Really good performers. And then filling out the programme, we have Erin Drama Group and Devonish Drama Group from County Fermanagh. They're actually two young theatre groups, and a lot of the people involved there are drama students, so it'd be really interesting actually to see what they bring to the festival.
Well, the next wave.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Aren't they? And you can, if I'm reading this correctly, you can watch all 9 for €60.
You can watch all 9 for €60. So it's absolutely great value. Like, okay, you know, you're seeing 3 nights of theatre for €60.
And you know,
value.
It's almost like a sample menu, a buffet. And that's to not in any way diminish the quality of the performances. I'm speaking really to those who don't think the theatre is them, not sure what it entails and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
What a way to sort of find out, is this your latest passion? So you're going to Bangor for a similar event then?
Exactly,
are you?
Yes.
So these are happening all different places.
Yes, they're all happening. It's happening all over the country. And then I'm actually, for the first time, I'm actually gutted to be missing the local festival because I love it.
If you're going to get involved in making
but
the
we're
place,
actually,
you're going to get these classes.
We're on one town, we're on somewhere else. We're in Friday night and then we're Saturday night somewhere else and Sunday night, so we're away. But it's a great weekend. I mean, I love it for every reason that you've just said, Greg. Mm. It's like that. It is like a banquet, and you're gonna love 6 of them, and argue with your friends about the other three. It's great fun.
It doesn't matter because obviously, especially when it's contemporary issues, that also could challenge our way of thinking as well.
Yes.
But that's what good art does. Mary Lane, you a fan of this format?
Yeah, and kind of recently enough too. Actually, last year was the first year that I attended all three dates of the One Act Festival. I'd only kind of ever been to one or whatever. So last year I made quite the effort to sort of get immersed over the course of the weekend. I had a brilliant weekend.
Yeah.
I was raving about it for months actually. And I even said, you know, afterwards going, well, I wish we need to do One Act Plays. Why aren't we doing my, because within sort of LMDG.
Yeah.
And
yep.
I said, why aren't we doing it? So it actually then sort of spurned on why we ended up doing the night of One Act Plays.
And your favourite, how did it fare in terms of the critics' reviews?
Last
did it align
year one,
with
yeah, it won,
your favorite
my favourite
one,
one won. No, I cannot show. Remember the name of it.
I'm taking back as well, yeah.
It's the one with the girls and all the white chairs. I cannot
it was a group, oh, yeah, it was a yes. group from Kilmachille, if memory serves, from Bun Clody.
That was fantastic.
Great show, yeah.
That was fantastic.
But there was one that was, is it Even Numbers?
Yeah,
and
Even
it,
Numbers,
it's
actually.
It's been done again this year by a different group. I thoroughly enjoyed it, so I'm actually really looking forward to seeing how that's
their interpretation done in a
different way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brilliant stuff. So you can get your tickets for either evening from on greenon.com. Friday night tonight, 7:30. Tomorrow night kicks off at 7:30, both p.m. of course. Then on Sunday, there's an earlier start, 4 p.m. €60 gets you into all three night stroke days, and you get to see nine of the best. Mm. Right, okay, on greenon.com. John, thanks for that. Appreciate
it. No problem. You're welcome,
best of luck with it. Pulling all this together and working with the various elements and making sure that the staging and all of that kind of stuff can be done. I'm sure that's a challenge in and of itself.
There's a bit of admin involved in it, Greg, and you're dealing with difficult theatre types like Kieran Michael Eddy here.
How very dare you?
Word diva springs to mind.
I make it mean
absolutely,
next year.
Yeah.
And did you hear that warning? Don't let that go past you.
Yeah.
It may be Mary next year.
Well, there's always 20-odd groups applying, so she might not quite make it, Greg.
Oh, it all changed. God, it escalated very quickly, okay. Didn't it?
Who needs Maxwell the cat? There's lots of going on in here. All right, brilliant stuff, John. Get on greenon.com to book your tickets there. Again, three nights in the theatre, nine different acts for €60. Where would you get it? Okay, back with more after these. Rightio. Now, just to clarify something, by the way, I might have given the impression that the One Act Festival is on this weekend. It's next weekend, which is actually even better because it gives people a bit of notice if they wish to book their tickets. So it's next Friday, next Saturday and next Sunday. And in my defence, I wasn't given any dates. I presumed it was this weekend. So that's actually better. So if people went, oh, blooming hell, I've something on this weekend. Well, it's next weekend. So you've a bit of time to plan or organise babysitters or whatever it might be. So that's actually not bad. So the One Act Festival takes place next Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And you can go and book your tickets at On Green on Box Office. RTE are showing season two of The Gun. The trailer looked good, so I've started watching season one to get the plot. It's so boring and drawn out that I don't think I can survive through the whole season. Should I persevere or give up? Either of you familiar with The Gun? Right, so we throw it out to our other listeners. Should this listener persist with The Gun? They've started season one. They're a bit nonplussed. It's a bit meh. And on you go. Tonight, there's Halloween Disco, by the way. Where is it? It's a Halloween Disco. Anyway, it's Bonkrana Youth and Community. I can't read that. This is not... Can you read that? No one could read that. Anyway, it's Halloween Disco. It's on Friday, the 20th of October, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Music, dancing, best costume. There's a tuck shop and lots of fun. And it's in Bunkrana at the Youth and Community Development place. If you could send that in to me again, please, and just tell me where it is. Sorry, I did that event a disservice and I don't wish to do so. Funny Woman on Sky.
Oh, yes.
This is one of yours.
This is one of mine. Yeah, I love this show. This is like, I was chatting to someone else about this during the week. It's 180 degrees from what we were chatting about last week because I talked about that film with Saoirse Ronan, which I adored, and I would give a 10 out of 10.
Didn't
it was heavy stuff. And this is another, like for me, it's just another 10 out of 10 show, but it's light and fluffy and cheesy. And Gemma Arterton is in it, who I just adore. Yeah, if Jim Arterton came up to me, I would not play hard to get, let's just say. So if she's listening. So this is a show, works on many different levels. It's in its second season, and I presume its final season. It's adapted from a Nick Hornby novel called Funny Girl. And it's been adapted by Merwenna Banks, who was in the first season as a performer. It's set in the 1960s. It's the story of Barbara, who's also called Sophie, her stage name. And she starts off as a beauty queen, winner of a Blackpool beauty contest, who heads to London and the big lights to make a go of a career in entertainment. And we follow her as she rises to stardom on television. And in the second season now, she's the episode I watched during the week with two left to go. She's now filming in Europe, her first feature film. So it's a sort of a rags to riches kind of story, straightforward. And it recreates the 1960s beautifully using footage and placing the actors in on the city streets and stuff like that, which I love. I love the way they do that. And I love the fact that it recreates this 1960s behind the scenes at a TV show, because I'm super nerdy about TV shows from the olden days, and I love this thing of finding out what was probably going on at the BBC back then and that kind of stuff. And you'll have, there are fictional characters as the main characters, but famous characters like Val Dunican or whatever will have cameos. So, you know, it's faction, I think, is the way they describe it. It's not fiction, it's not fact. It's sort of between the two in the backgrounds. But you get this idea of these people working on a sitcom, and you get to see, I'd say, it become very successful. But the other thing about it, and the most cheesy element, which I am completely here for, is the love story. Because Sophie, of course, falls for her co-star in the show. We know that he's a womanizing jerk, and we know it's going to come a cropper. We also know that the very decent producer of the show is madly in love with her, but she doesn't know this. And we're screaming at the screen, don't you realise he's the guy who loves you?
Yes.
So, and in the second season, there's been some development, but there was a terrible misunderstanding in the episode I watched during the week, and she doesn't think they're ever going to be together. So, I mean, with two episodes left, I have no idea how it's going to turn up.
You're
great.
Enjoying it, and it looks lovely. It looks like it's well shot, and it seems a wee bit authentic to the time.
Yes, and it's just a lot of fun, and it's I'm gloriously silly. Don't take it seriously. It's fun.
Brilliant.
And it's great fun.
Okay, that is Funny Woman
Sky.
On Sky. Also, too, quite interesting for those of you who watched Monsters, the story of the Menendez brothers, and also then it was the subject of a Netflix documentary. They could be getting out because a prosecutor says they should be resentenced over the murder of their parents. They believe they've served enough time. They believe there's more evidence of the abuse they suffered in their youth. And because they're only under 26, even though they got life without parole, if that was changed to life with parole, because they were under 26 at the time of the murders, they're viewed a different way and they'd be actually eligible for release right now. So that happened last night. It's just in case anyone's tracking it and didn't see it happening. So they could be on their way out of prison there. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. We're in the company of Mary Lane, a drama teacher, and Michael Leddy, writer and blogger. Funny Woman has got high reviews from Michael so far, as has Beauty and the Beast, although that's preemptive. But it's if it's anything to do with Grove Theatre's production of West Side Story, then it should be really good. That's on this weekend in On Green On Theatre. Motherland, you've to the 9th of November to catch that on Netflix. The Murderous Sisters, a three-part documentary on Amazon Prime, is on your list, Mary. Now, Amazon, I kind of gave a couple of their documentaries a go, and they're a bit cheap and put together and get a couple of talking heads and that's it, right? Unfortunately. So I'm hoping maybe to watch one that's good. This is obviously a serious subject matter, but talk to us about it. Have you seen it? What's the show like?
Yeah, I watched it now. I did watch it a few weeks ago, but I thought, you know, this is definitely worth it's definitely worth including. So yeah, it's the story of the what were dubbed the Scissor Sisters, Linda and Charlotte Mulhall, who carried out the murder of Farah Noor in 2005, which people might remember was the body that was found dismembered in the canal near Croke Park in Dublin.
The media frenzy.
Yeah. And the documentary really goes into how they figured out who he was, and who he was connected to, and eventually how it led to discovering who killed him, but also gives really good weight to what their story is and mm-hmm. where they came from and the really, really troubled home life that they came from. Yeah. And, you know, that really nobody was looking after them.
And do you think that serves to just tell the whole story, or is it to sort of mitigate their actions, or how do you feel that of its inclusion?
I don't think it mitigates their actions. I mean, obviously, they still murdered the guy. But the documentary also doesn't let him away yeah. with... you know, he was sweetness and light. He wasn't a good guy either. And many people would leave the documentary maybe going, well, maybe just everybody got their just desserts.
Yeah,
you know, it really gave insight to where all their various situations came from that just pulled together to make this melting pot that was never going to end well for any of the parties involved, the victim and the people that murdered him and the people around them, because her whole family got there, the two girls,
yeah.
their whole family, their mother was involved. You know, really tragic things
and
happened.
And how is the story told? Is it like talking heads? Is it archive footage? Is it sort of some dramatisation? How do they tell the story?
Yeah, so mostly talking heads, and like they have all the people, the forensic...
they've got good access then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Like I was watching this going... why can't all the Irish documentaries be like this?
Right,
I mean,
okay,
it was
good.
Really in-depth. It was really, I thought, very high quality. Any sort of, I'll say, recreations of the of what happened, there's nothing very, very direct. It's more sort of notional. It's all done silently, so it's...
Is there a local interest in...
There is, okay. Yes. Megan Armitage, who's a local actor... she's from Crislaw area, but she does a lot of work here in Letterkenny mm-hmm. and around, and very talented musician. She actually plays the unspoken role of I think it's Charlotte Mulhall in it. So it definitely piqued my interest as I was watching it. I was kind of going between it and a bit of crocheting, and I was watching up and down and up and down, and then Megan came on. I said, oh, she was in my music class. So it was lovely actually to see her there in it, and it's really, really worth watching.
Right, three-parter too, so they dig deep.
They do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fascinating how they discovered who he was, how, you know, because like his head was never found, for example.
Yeah.
But the scientific research that went into analysing what was in his stomach
yeah.
to figure out what was it, the enzymes or something?
Are they out now? I think
one of them is out, okay. I think, yeah.
All right, okay, that sounds interesting. It's on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have Amazon Prime for the delivery and all, and don't maybe realise or don't avail of the free TV that you're free, the TV service that you get with it. So that's The Murderous Scissor Sisters. It's a three-part documentary on Amazon Prime, and local actor Megan Armitage actually features in it playing one of the sisters. And by the sounds of it, from Mary there, and it actually piques my interest, because unfortunately what you do on a shoestring, and you see it at Channel 5 and Virgin Media, they don't get licence fee money, so it's tough to make documentaries. So what they do is they get a couple of journalists, and the journalist talks through the story, really, and a bit of archive footage. And that, I know how some of these are made, and I know some journalists that take part in these that were never near the scenes of these.
They've just
brushed up on the details,
yeah.
right? And then just narrate.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, these are the people who were pulling things out of
And it does make a difference. I know what you mean. Yeah, when you put it like that, it makes a difference. Yeah, of course.
Okay. Right, that was Mary Lane with The Murderous Scissor Sisters. It's a three-part docu on Amazon Prime. Back with more from Mary and Michael after we take a quick break. Right, okay, Heel Toe Step Together.
Heel Toe Step Together.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast, and I've really been enjoying it ever since Caroline put the podcasts on my to-do list there back in September. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I'm really glad that Caroline did that, because I have paid more attention to podcasts.
You've grown as a person.
I have grown as a person. I feel like I'm in touch with my emotions, and yeah. I'm in touch with my inner child. And not only podcasts, but as we saw earlier in the show, I'm down with the kids and I'm almost on TikTok now as well. I mean, where is it going to stop, Greg? Where is it going to stop?
Well, you're probably going to start talking bag and flexing.
There we go. That's I'm reading my mind. You're reading my diary now. This podcast is a BBC podcast. And all of these, again, the ones I've mentioned in other weeks as well, are available on Spotify. Or if you prefer to just go to the BBC websites or RT websites, you can get them there.
The thing is in the car.
They're widely available.
They are. In the car. Like, I don't download podcasts, but I listen to quite a lot of podcasts. Mm. And I do favour, even though I'm a big fan of the BBC website when I'm at home, the podcast BBC Sounds. I think if you're travelling, and you're listening in your car, Spotify does it better.
Oh, okay.
Because it buffers, right? So you know when you get data black spots and what have you, it's buffering and it's changing the quality of download and stuff. And it's a more I find it a more consistent listening experience.
Makes sense.
BBC Sounds, they push it at a certain quality level.
And if you're in a black spot?
And if you're in a black spot, it's gone. You're lost.
Very smart,
it can be quite frustrating. So that's why I favour Spotify for the podcast.
Very good, yeah. It's very good. Yeah. So what I've been doing is, obviously, I've been keeping up with some newer stuff, but older ones like this one and the one that I'm hoping to get listened to before next Friday is old as well. This date's from 2010 and it's a BBC and it's a multi-award winning podcast. And it sounded intriguing when I was reading up on it and I was like, I'll go for this one. And I'm really glad I did because it's an absolutely lovely listening experience. It's the story of a very unlikely friendship. Katie Burningham, have I got her name right? Yeah. She's 28 years old when this was made. And she was a part-time producer, a radio producer. And she just bumped into this gentleman at a market on a Saturday, Records, an 86-year-old gentleman by the name of Bob Hill. And they struck up a friendship. And the friendship was based around dancing lessons. Bob had been a competitive dancer all through his life. His wife had passed away not that long before this meeting with Katie. And so the idea of Bob teaching Katie to dance was suggested in that first conversation. And then she suggested that they record their sessions and that maybe they could do something with the footage. So what you get in this 45-minute show is their conversations while they're dancing. And Bob is a lovely man. And he talks a lot about his youth and he talks a lot about his wife. And he talks about how he met his wife and he talks about their time dancing together and what it was like dancing with her. And it's quite moving. Mm. And him and Katie really strike up this amazing friendship. And she's obviously very enamoured of him and really enjoys their time. And it sounds weird that this would work in a podcast because you can't see them. You can't see them dancing. You can't see what's happening. But the dancing is secondary. Like, you know, it really is. It's all about the conversations and the friendship. Mm. And as she admits at the very end, she never becomes a particularly good dancer. She just has no knack for it whatsoever, ballroom dancing. But the lessons continue for, it seems, a long, long time. And that's what you get in this. And it won many awards. It's a BBC show from 2010. I did Google around and I wondered what had happened to Bob in the years since and I couldn't really find anything. So I went searching. I couldn't really find it a couple of weeks ago when I listened to this first. But I was charmed by this show and I would recommend it. It's a lovely listen. And it's just, as I said, the story of their friendship and the story, and just Bob talking about his wife, his late wife. And,
brilliant.
And,
so, I mean, maybe you could be a late adapter to podcasts. That could be a good starting point for you. Thanks for that, Michael. A caller says, I read the book about the sister's murder. It's difficult to comprehend the effect of a dependency on alcohol and drugs has on anyone. This caller believes the girls were not criminally minded, but acted in defence of their mother who was being used by her partner. It's a very sad story. It's a no-winner story, isn't it, really?
Absolutely.
Hi, Greg, Groovy Gang. Back to normal this weekend, I hear, as ye don't want the adulation all the time. Speaking of gorgeous people, have you seen Gilly Cooper's bonkbuster Rivals, in where ex-jockey, now politician, still as the whip, and TV host David Tennant became rival neighbours in all things where the wife and daughter are smitten with two and chaos ensues. That's the bank holiday sorted and you've an extra hour too. I see that friend of the show, Saoirse Ronan, although she doesn't know it yet, is on the Graham Norton and the Mescal as both could be in the Oscars. There you go. So you can watch that for your fix.
Yeah.
Speaking of Michael's feisty felines, Winona Earp, the movie, was on Tuesday on the Sci-Fi Channel, but fear not. It's in again on Saturday, 1 to tape. Have a brilliant bank holiday, everyone. Not signed, but I think we can.
I think we know who that is. I have to say, Winona Earp is a show that has slipped through the cracks for me. I have been dying for years. I have heard so much about it. I know that if I get around to get watching it, Melanie Scorfano, I know, is the lead. She's in Star Trek. I know that it's a fantastic show from what I've read, and I've been meaning for four seasons and now the reunion movie. I will try and watch that show. And obviously, Maria Rush is still at me about The Penguin, which she, so. And Fionnuala has said Rivals is going to be the thing, and she says that I'll have to somehow make time. I'm going to have to stop working. I'm going to have to quit my job for a week and watch TV.
My
dad mentioned to me last night Rivals. About the Rivals.
Yeah.
And so
the trailers
that's
look great, don't they?
List.
The trailers do look great.
Mm. Did either of you watch The Substance? It's come up a couple of times.
I've heard great reviews.
Oh, did you?
Great reviews. Okay. I haven't seen it, no. It's great really reviews, fun. But I'm dying to see it.
I do watch it, will you? Because it's...
Have you?
Yeah.
And?
It's crazy. You weren't? It's crazy, like.
But is it good crazy?
I don't know. But I suppose it's a good film. It makes you think. But you just wonder, why was it made? And also, there's a part of it I still haven't figured it out as to why Demi Moore engages in all of this and continues to. But that will become clear if you watch it.
Yeah. Is
like
it in my
good.
Wheelhouse? Can you imagine? Is
I don't
it more
know.
My kind
it's,
of nonsense?
It doesn't fall into any genre. It plays really loose with reality, obviously, but even beyond the subject matter that you can take a substance and you can produce a young version of yourself,
yes.
right? But even beyond that, they play with reality and stuff a bit. I don't know.
What I'm hearing is that she's going to get some awards for this performance. Do you believe that?
Not quite sure.
No,
I don't know. It's probably going to be one of those films that people say they like, but you try and articulate why they like it, they might struggle. Listen, we have to leave it there, Mary Lane. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
What an unexpected treat to have you up.
Yeah,
thank you so much for calling up.
Anytime.
Michael Leddy, writer and blogger.
Was that an unexpected treat?
No. It was
honesty hurts, Greg.
It was an expected treat.
Oh, nice save. Nice save.
Take care of yourself. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You too. Have a good night
Tuesday,
tonight.
So I'll be back Wednesday. But of course, Don will look after you on Tuesday. Have a fantastic weekend. Stay safe. And of course, stay tuned because John Breslin is quite literally out and about after the news at 12.
The 9 till Noon Show, sponsored by Sony Centre Letterkenny. Discover the best in tech, TVs, soundbars, noise-cancelling headphones, mirrorless cameras and more. Best deals guaranteed. Shop in-store or at sonycentre.ie.